Hello and welcome to the episode 22 of What a Fab Day. I am your host, Simon Mas. A change in management philosophy, brand new offices, and a fresh start are among the highlights of today's episode, focusing on the events of the 22nd of January of the various years. In 1962, the Beatles, with Pete Best on drums, had their 120th performance at the Cavern Club for yet another lunchtime gig. The occasion took place during an experiment. The lads held the first of 5 one-hour slots featuring different bands, each performing for about half the normal duration of a Cavern lunchtime concert. The admission price for the marathon was 1 shilling, about £1 in 2020 money. In the evening, the band performed at the Kingsway Club in Southport. The admission to the respectable club was 2 shillings and a sixpence, about £2.50 in 2020 money. The concert is a good example of how things changed for the Beatles in 1962 due to Brian Epstein's management style. The dingy jive clubs in poor and violent neighborhoods, so typical of the band's 1961 engagements, were gradually substituted by more genteel and upscale venues, with real stages, curtains, and dressing rooms. In addition, to further improve the image and draw of the band, Epstein insisted that each concert was to be coupled with promotional material to be sent to local newspapers to publicize the various engagements. This usually consisted of a press release or an in-house article designed to exaggerate the lads' achievements, and a couple of photographs of the band. The 22nd of January 1963 was yet another busy day for the Beatles, with 3 radio engagements. First, the lads arrived at the BBC Paris studio, London, where they chatted live during Pop In, a program similar to EMI's The Friday Spectacular, which we covered in episode 21 of What a Fab Day. The show, aired between 1 and 1:45 p.m., also featured Joan Regan, John Pertwee, who will become one of the Doctor Who, and Shane Fenton, future Alvin Stardust, a glam rock spoof on David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust. It was simply another stop to promote the single release of Please Please Me. When the Pop-In engagement was over, the 4 rushed to the Playhouse Theatre. From 2:30 p.m., they rehearsed their slot for their first appearance in Saturday Club, the top BBC radio show for new pop music. Then, between 4 and 5 p.m., the Beatles recorded their performance of Some Other Guy, Love Me Do, Please Please Me, Keep Your Hands Off My Baby, and Beautiful Dreamer. The show was broadcast in UK on the 26th of January between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. The second half of the program, featuring Some Other Guy and Love Me Do, was also transmitted simultaneously on shortwave frequencies in Australasia, Africa, the Far East, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and the Mediterranean. Finally, the lads went back to the BBC Paris studio, where they rehearsed and recorded their live performance of Please Please Me, Ask Me Why, and Some Other Guy in front of an audience for the Talent Spot show, broadcast on the 29th of January between 5 and 5:29 p.m. In 1964, the Beatles performed at the Olympia Theatre in Paris, France, for their ongoing residency at the venue. This was the 6th of 18 dates, still featuring the same set list, with From Me to You, Roll Over Beethoven, She Loves You, This Boy, Boys, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Twist and Shout, and Long Tall Sally. In 1966, George Harrison and Patti Boyd Harrison held a press conference to appease the press after their secret, quote-unquote, wedding on the previous day. The affair was the usual array of dull questions. On the 22nd of January 1968, Apple Corp. opened its first offices in 95 Wigmore Street, London. This was part of the plan to expand the Beatles' business empire. We'll talk extensively about Apple in due course, but for now, it suffices to say that the offices were open on the fourth floor of the building and that the prohibition to play records during office hours in order not to disturb the other tenants of the building was one of the reasons why Apple relocated to 3 Savile Row in July 1968. 1 year later, in 1969, the Beatles were in the Apple Studios in Savile Row to start the proper recording sessions of their Get Back project. As you will remember, the idea was now having an album featuring the Beatles recording music as they had at the beginning of their career, without technical tricks like automatic double tracking, without editing, without tape loops, overdubs, or anything like that. It was meant to be the sound of a band performing live, together. Naturally, though, there were some changes from the early days. For a start, the role of George Martin was not clear. With Get Back turning from being a film of a live performance to a music album with the characteristic I have just outlined, Martin should have been the natural music producer, and actually, it was him who the band turned to when they needed a loan of 2 four-track consoles from EMI to make the Apple Studios operative. And indeed, he was present to at least some of the sessions. On the other hand, Martin had very little input during the rehearsals and the recordings. In the Abbey Road bootlegs, the Beatles are often heard addressing their requests to Glyn Jones, who was present at every session. It was also up to Jones to compile and mix the material, but when Get Back was released as a single, nobody was credited as producer. Another change from the early days, and in fact from the previous Get Back rehearsals, was the presence of Billy Preston, invited by George Harrison. As you might remember, there had been some talk about inviting a keyboard player to the sessions so that the band could still have a rich sound while playing the songs live without overdubs, and Billy Preston fit the role nicely for 3 reasons. He had met the Beatles back in Hamburg when he was a teenage member of the Little Richard backup band during the early 1960s Star Club days. He was an exceptional keyboard and piano player, and he helped a lot to improve the mood with his positive, easygoing attitude, allowing for a greater focus on the songs and the performances rather than on personal squabbles. George had anticipated that, recalling how everyone's behavior had changed for the better when he had invited Eric Clapton to record the lead guitar solo on While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Preston received £500, about £8,300 in 2020 money, for his involvement with the Get Back project, and he was later signed to Apple Records. The working routine was kept to the pre-1965 standards, with the sessions starting in the morning and ending in the late afternoon. Not everything was rosy, and the process was still unfocused and sometimes miserable. Completing songs and even cataloging the takes was still difficult, even with the new focus on recording, due to the impromptu and unplanned nature of the sessions. Since cameras were filming the whole business, sometimes take numbers would be borrowed by the real number announced by the film crew. And so, the first take of a song could be designated on tape boxes as take 32, for example. Imagine trying to decide which take was best. You have a take 32. Is this the first? Are there others? Sometimes nothing graced the labels of session tapes until Paul McCartney decided to go through them and scribble notes describing the material. But still, the work kept progressing, and this was indeed a fresh start, reinvigorating the project. On this first day, the Beatles and Preston tried out Dig a Pony, I've Got a Feeling, Don't Let Me Down, a group instrumental called Rocker, She Came In Through the Bathroom Window, a cover of the Drifters' Save the Last Dance for Me, and Canadeets' Going Up the Country, the latter mostly as a way to illustrate a point Paul was making to the band. As usual, you will find a complete list of the songs recorded for the Get Back project in the episode's description. And so, another episode of What a Fab Day comes to its conclusion. Please find ways to support my efforts for this podcast or for my other music projects visiting www.simonmas.com/support. Remember that even just sharing this episode on your social media can make a difference. In the description, you will also find a link to a bibliography of the podcast with relative Amazon affiliate links should you want to do some shopping. For the moment, I wish you a good day and a fab continuation. Simon Mas, music you love.